You have your Bible this morning. Turn to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. Turn to Acts chapter number 22. And Paul says this, verse number 6. It came to pass that as I made my journey, I was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dealt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." In the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Amen. I want to preach a little while this morning, if God will be my help, on this thought: can God get a witness? Can God get a witness? As we see this and we heard, read in your hearing this morning, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ Almighty, He's speaking to the disciples, praise God, and He's trying to encourage them to share Him with others. Amen. It's a wonderful thing when you share somebody as marvelous, as wonderful, as spectacular as our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. What a blessing that is. We see, praise God, that He tells them, He said, after you've received the power, after you've received the power of the Spirit, after the Spirit's moved into you, He said you need to do something with that. Praise God. It's not to be hoarded up and bottled up and put on a shelf. It's supposed to be taken out into a lost and a dying world, that you and I might compel them to come in. Now, it's so easy to think that it's somebody else's job. It's somebody else's objective to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. You know, whatever it takes to see old sinners saved. Praise God. I want to say on the authority of the Word of God that if you've been born again, if you've been saved, it's your responsibility to go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I'm preaching the truth this morning. It's what Jesus said. Amen. Glory. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." He said that we need to be a witness. If you'll study the book of John, the book of John speaks over 14 times of the witness that we have after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Jesus says, "I must go away." But Brother Chris, He said, "If I go away," He said, "I'll send you another comforter, and that comforter will be a witness unto you that you can glory." Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just jump up, take a spell. He said, "You can be a witness." After I'm a witness to you, praise God, you can be a witness for me all over this world. Just tell them how good I am. Tell them about the magnificence and the power and the love and the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, your Savior. You say it's not that hard. It's not that difficult when we love the Lord, because He first loved me. Amen. Over 14 times John speaks of the witness, being a witness for Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, you ain't got no witness. Amen. You've never been born again. You've never accepted Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. You've never come to this realization that you're an old sinner. Amen. We have to come to a place where we realize we're just old sinners that we are apt to sin. But I say we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who does that circumvent when we say that we've all sinned? All of us have sinned and come short. In other words, every one of us has missed the mark to be pleasing to God. All of us have lived in unrighteousness. That's just not right in the eyes of God. How do you overcome that? How do you get past that, praise God? By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, when He deals with your heart, fall on your face and say, God, forgive me, a sinner, with every fiber in your being. Believe in it. Amen. That you are a sinner and that Jesus come to die for old sinners. He said He come to seek and to save those that were lost. Amen. Amen. Who's that? That was me. And that was you. He come to seek and to save the lost for His sake, praise God. But we see, praise God, we see the things that's taking place in the book of Acts. He told him, he said, you get ready. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you said, you get ready to go and preach the gospel, praise God, to this world. And we see the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 2 that he said, well, number one, he said, they was in one mind and one accord. Disciples, they were in the upper room and they was looking for something from God. You know why we don't ever get nothing from God? Because we don't really look for something from God. Let me ask you a question. Why did you come to church this morning? Amen? Why did you come to church this morning? A lot of times as young and say, well, because mom and daddy made us. That's why you go to school, right? You go to school. I said, you learn anything? No, why not? Because I said, why did you go? Because mom and daddy made me go. Amen. Listen, as adults, if we ain't careful, we come to church, praise God, and we come with the same aspect, we came with the same reason in our mind. We come because we think we're supposed to. And that's all well and good because you're supposed to. The Bible says, if fail not to assemble yourself together as custom, even so the Lord is the day's approaching. And we're seeing a day approaching like we ain't ever seen before. Floods and hurricanes and earthquakes and all kinds of things in diverse, different from before, places all over the world. Amen. Amen. And he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he said, look up and lift up your head, praise God, for your redeemeth cometh. He said, it's time for the Lord. We need to be looking for Him. Amen. And if we're looking for Him and we're expecting Him, praise God. These disciples in the upper room, 120 of them. Amen. They was praying, they was seeking, they was looking, they was anticipating the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. They was looking for something to come upon them that was bigger than they were. Amen. Bigger than this world holds, something that was so magnificent so they couldn't even really reckon and imagine in their mind what it'd be like when the Spirit of God come upon their lives. Something that would change them forever if they'd let it. But the Bible says that they was in one mind and one accord. Amen? They was in one mind and one accord. They was looking, they was expecting, and the Holy Ghost come. The Holy Ghost come, and the Holy Ghost, praise God, come to where they was at, and it filled them, praise God, with His presence. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, and verse number 2, it said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing and a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, praise God. What do you think took place when the Holy Ghost filled up the house? Guess who was in the house? Yeah, but they was 120 souls, praise God, that was looking for, they was expecting that feeling, praise God, that presence from God Almighty. And when it showed up, praise God, it filled the house and it filled them too. Praise God, too, it was running over and it was overflowing and it went out of that place, praise God, shouting and praising and giving God glory. Can you imagine what it looked like, Brother Josh? 120 spirit-filled people coming out of that building. Amen. When we were in Israel last time, we went up into that upper room. You had to go, it was an upper room, so you had to go up a set of stairs into that upper room. You go into that big room and there's columns holding a building, big old magnificent columns. And we milled around in there and we gathered together to pray. And somebody said, preacher, would you pray? And boy, I got to praying. And the Holy Ghost of God fell on that place. I mean, you talk about the Spirit from on high. I got just a, glory. I got just a little bit of taste of what those folks got on the day of Pentecost. It come into that place and it settled on us. And it settled in us. And people was shouting. And people was crying. And people was loving each other's neck. Praise God. There was something took place in that room. I know exactly what they felt like. Amen. They got it because they was expecting it. Amen. And they took what they got. When they got filled, the house got filled. Verse number 4 said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, they was men of 16 different nations that was gathered around at Jerusalem at this time. And the Bible says they went out to these folks that was gathered around there from all these different places. And they began to speak, praise God. And it wasn't the tongues that they spoke, but it was the ability of the hearing. That was magnificent. Those that was from those 16 different nations and countries. Can you imagine standing around? I can't even communicate with one another. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God comes on the scene. And He begins to speak to a group over here. And a group over here. And a group over here. Praise God. As a witness is coming out of these 120 people that was excited about the things of God. And the Bible said that day, on the day of Pentecost, on the day when people got right with God and got a hold of God and God got a hold of them, 3,000 souls were saved. Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. It'd be a church building day. Amen. Wonder what happened if we get a hold of God, God got a hold of us. Amen. I pray God. Can God get a witness today from you and me? God ought to be able to get a witness out of us. Praise God. We've had enough God in this mountains. God has blessed us here in western North Carolina. We've been the buckle of the belt for so many years. Praise God. But we've let it slip. But it's not God's fault. It's our fault. We ought to get in one more time and be filled with that Spirit. Not with drunk with wine, words and excess, the filth of this world. But be filled with the Spirit of God. One more time. Let God begin to move upon our hearts. God begin to direct us. These 120 souls, praise God, went out of Pentecost and they saw 3,000 souls saved. Amen. And then you see in chapter number 7, the book of Acts, you see old Stephen. Amen. Stephen, the Bible said that old Stephen was full of faith and of the power of God. Amen. Old Stephen was full of faith. He was full of the power of God. And he began to preach the gospel and their hearts was pricked. Praise the Lord. Amen. Old Stephen. See, the 120, praise God, was preaching the gospel and folks was getting saved. But what about one little old preacher boy? What about one little old fellow, praise God, that's full of the Holy Ghost and he's full of the Spirit. He had faith and he held the Holy Spirit and he began to preach the gospel. Hey, listen, you say, well, preacher, I'd preach, I'd teach, I'd be a witness, but nobody seems like they want to hear it. You think they wanted to hear Stephen? Come on, stay with me. Do you think they wanted to hear what Stephen had to say? No. But Stephen began to preach, praise God. He took them from Genesis, praise God, all the way through the Word of God. And he pointed them, he pointed them to a soon coming Savior. He pointed to what? The Messiah, who they had crucified and murdered, praise God. But he didn't stay dead. He said, hey, listen, this same Jesus that you crucified and murdered, I said he rose up, praise God, victorious over death and the grave. Amen. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. And as they stoned him to death, as they rocked him to sleep, the Bible says that Stephen looked up into glory. And he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Amen. Praise God. The first martyr, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. He stood up. Jesus Christ stood up. Praise be to God in honor of this servant of the Most High God. And he said, Stephen, come on home, son. Amen. But look what Stephen left a witness. Amen. He left a witness that was so powerful, praise God. They was people that never got over it. Amen. All these ungodly there that was rocking him to sleep. And while they was rocking him to sleep, the Bible said there was one that consented holding his clothing. A young man laid at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. Amen. And as Stephen was being rocked to sleep, praise God, he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 7 and 60. He said, Lord Jesus, 6:59, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeling down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Praise God. Hey, in the time of anguish, old Stephen had peace in his heart. And he looked up to heaven and he saw glory. Hallelujah, Josh. He saw Jesus standing. Hey, the heavens opened up. The clouds parted. And he looked up into the portals of glory. And glory. Hey, I'm glad every now and then I can look up into the portals of glory. Every now and then I get just a little peek of heaven. Glory, hallelujah. I know my Savior's there. I know my Heavenly Father's there. I know those great streets of gold and that throne of grace that's there in heaven. And every now and then, I get to look up in there. I've got a witness today. I can see God sitting at the, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Man, old Stephen looked up in there and he began to pray. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Amen. He knelt down. He fell on his knees. Cried with a loud voice. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Stephen said, listen, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're doing it. He said, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. It affected him. A witness, praise God, it affected those around him. One of the folks that it affected probably the most was old Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. I'm afraid today we've got a whole lot of religious people in the world. I won't say religion has sent more people to hell than probably any other thing. Amen. You can be very religious. You can believe heavily on something, praise God, and be you can believe, praise God, and be absolutely wrong in your belief. Amen. We are to love with we are to do what we do because of love. Not because of our ambitions, not because of the things that would bring a renown to ourselves. But there was something when Stephen prayed, when Stephen was going out of here, when the heavens was open and he was looking into heaven, it touched this man Saul. Stephen had a witness. Amen. He said, yeah, but what difference did it make? It touched a man named Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Now, if Stephen hadn't have touched nobody but Saul, glory to God, what a touch. Amen. What a touch. Praise God. A man that would write just about most of our epistles that we have in our new Bible. Amen. This man called Saul, a religious man, but a man that got tore out of frame. In Acts chapter 8, it said, and Saul was consenting unto the death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now watch this, verse 3. As for Saul, he was tore out of frame. Religious man. He made havoc of the church. Now that word havoc means to wound like a wild boar. Just tear and rip. Said he made havoc of the church and entered into every house and held men and women, committing them to prison because of their faith. Amen. Scattered them abroad. Amen. Praise God. Paul was tore up. But then the Bible says that they were scattered. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did that stop them from preaching the word? No. Amen. Even though there was persecution, even though there was opposition, praise God, they just kept moving and kept preaching the word. We was looking at Sunday school morning. Praise God, they was opposition. They had to keep moving. And when they found a place that was favorable to the Word of God, they would hang out and just preach, praise God, with the power and anointing of God. Amen, praise God. They'd preach, they would preach and expand the Word of God to those that was willing, that wanted to hear. And those that didn't want to hear, the Bible said they would just dust the feet off their, the dust off their shoes and they'd go on to another place. A place where somebody wanted to hear. I want to tell you, youngins, today, these places where people are eager to hear today. These people that's scared to death, they're petrified of what's happening in the world. Diseases and earthquakes and famines and different diverse places, and they're trying to figure it out and they don't have a clue. They need somebody to tell them about Jesus. He's the way out, you know. Amen. God had a plan. So persecution come, but the Bible says that during that persecution, there was a little evangelist called Phillips, called Philip. Amen. Persecution was there. Philip, Lord, laid on his heart. Philip, the evangelist, he goes, he left out and he went to a city called Samaria. Now, Samaria was a place that people didn't want to go. It was a place of what they called half-breeds. They were half Gentile and they were half Jew. Amen. It was part of that work that Balaam done when he told them, said, I can't curse them, but I tell you what to do. He said, you just intermingle with them and you defile them. Amen. Get a little Gentile and a little Jew, praise God, where they don't really understand where they're at or what they want to do. But God laid on old Philip's heart, praise God. He was a witness. He went up there, praise God. He began to preach in Samaria. And he preached, the Bible says, he preached, verse number 5, he said, preach Christ unto them. He preached Christ. He preached the Lord Jesus to them. Amen. He said, people with one accord gave heed. What, he got at their attention? Let me tell you something. When you go to proclaim, you go being a witness, Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, you'll get people's attention. Amen. Hey, whether for the positive or the negative, you'll get their attention. And if you preach them the truth, Bible says the truth will make them free. And when you're free in Christ Jesus, praise God, you're free indeed. That's true freedom. Amen. They was bound. They said, you know the story of the people of Samaria. Praise God. And if people one accord gave heed unto those things which Peter spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. It wasn't him, it was Christ, it was the Lord. For unclean spirits cried with a loud voice and came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Amen. And look what takes place. Verse number 8. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. Where God can get a witness, praise God. It brings great joy to the city. You know what's wrong with our cities, countries, states, and homes now? There's no joy in them. There's no great joy because we've left out the most important part. God needs a witness today. Amen. God needs to have a witness today. Well, we see Saul of Tarsus, he's tore up. We see Philip, he's preaching evangelist, praise God. He's preaching Samaria. In the middle of the Holy Ghost revival, praise God. People's getting stirred. People's getting saved. People's getting in. And God speaks to old Philip's heart. He said, Philip, I need you to go somewhere else, son. He said, could you load up, Philip? I need you down there in the desert. Philip didn't question, didn't ask questions. He said, well, Lord, you know, I'm in the middle of a revival meeting. You're right in the middle of this. What do you want me to, well, why should I leave it and go, why should I leave it and go down into the wilderness? But he didn't question God, praise God. He loaded up and he went down into the wilderness. Because down there in that wilderness was an Ethiopian who was looking for a touch of God. Sometimes we might have to go out of our way to get to those Ethiopians, to get those people, praise God, that need that touch of God. They're all over the place. Amen? They're all over. Everywhere that you can go, these people that need a touch of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You believe that? I believe that's all my heart. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, these people that need the touch of God. Amen. So that God needs a witness. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 26 of chapter number 8, he said, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Now watch this. I want to show you something here this morning. Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto, what's that next word? Gaza. Amen. Anybody heard anything about Gaza on the news? Ungodliness, perversion, wickedness. He said, from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Ain't no greenery. There's nothing to see, to behold that was appeasing. Said he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Queen Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. a rich man. Let me ask you a question this morning. Will riches buy you pleasure? Will riches buy you peace? You know, some of the most miserable people in this world are people that's won the mega lotteries. Amen? They lose all their friends. Because when you don't split it up and divide it with them, they're going to get upset. Because for some reason, they think that you owe that to them. Amen. Because they're your friend. But are they really? Amen. Praise God. I think I'll just stay with Jesus. He's always my friend. Hey, whether I've got money or whether I don't, whether I'm poor, whether I'm pauper, praise God, or whether I'm rich, praise, He's still my friend. Amen. But glory. But he went down there and he seen this Ethiopian. He began to be a witness. God needed a witness. He said, Philip, I need you to go down there and speak to that Ethiopian. He was looking, he was desiring. He said he went up to Jerusalem to worship, and he didn't even know how to worship because he didn't know who to worship. So he got down there and he was reading and studying, looking at the scriptures. They heard why he was there. And Philip comes up to him. He runs and joins himself to him. He said, hey, do thou understandest what thou readest? Did you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man show me? Amen? And so he joined with him. He got up in the chariot. Amen? Now I can just imagine as that chariot's rolling down the road. That fella's going back to Ethiopia. Philip's getting further and further away from home as he's ministered to this fella. Amen? A lot of people say, wait a minute, I ain't getting on there because he's going in the wrong direction. Absolutely going in the wrong direction. But he was trying to figure out the right direction. And God said, can I get me a witness? And Philip said, praise God, I'm in the middle of a revival meeting, God, but praise God, I'll go. Amen. The Bible says he got on down there and by that old Ethiopian, he said, verse 36, he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, hey, Philip, he said, hey, here's some water. He said, I'd like to be baptized. Now, Philip knew the questions to ask. And Philip said, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And said this, now listen to what this Ethiopian said. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm a believer, praise God. I'd be baptized now. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. Amen. Witness. God need a witness. God sent Philip. Philip ministered to Ethiopia. The Ethiopian got saved, baptized, and went on to Ethiopia. I wonder what he done when he got home. Amen. Had control of the treasury. I just see in my mind, I know I've got a vivid imagination, but I just always imagine in my mind that Ethiopian got back down there to Ethiopia. Amen. He had the authority over the treasury. So everybody that come in, you know, to get their loans and to pay their loans. He said, before we do this, can I just tell you something? He said, there's a man called Jesus. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. He gave him a testimony because God needed a witness. And he got a hold of that little old Ethiopian's heart. And praise God. He saved him by his marvelous grace. He said, I want to be baptized. I want to die out to the world. And I want to run on for Jesus. And praise God. I believe he got in that chariot. Praise God. Loaded up. And he said, come on, fellas. Let's go. We got to get the house. I've got something to tell. And he went on down the road. And then we have old Saul of Tarsus. Now he's been fighting with this thing for a while. Amen. You see over in Acts chapter 9. Now in the book of Acts, God's looking for a witness. Because he gave a promise. He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, I just need a witness. I just need you to tell somebody what I give you. Amen. What's living inside? What's making a difference? Is God making a difference in you this morning? Hello? Is he making a difference? Are you that same old thing? Oh, Brother Bill, you say, if ain't a change, ain't a change. Something big as the Holy Ghost moves in your heart. But old Paul, praise God, he was a breathing, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Acts chapter 9 went unto the high priest. He was tore out of frame. What it was, he was under Holy Ghost conviction. You say, well, preacher, but he was a religious man. He knew all the aspects of the law. Absolutely. But yet he was lost. See, the law won't save you. The law is a schoolmaster. And the more you try to appease the law, the more you realize that you're just an old sinner. Amen. And God sent His saving grace. See, the desired of Him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if He found any of this way, what way? In the Jesus way. The Jesus way. Followers of Christ. Whether they were men or women, He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as He journeyed, He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about Him a light from heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Remember that day that light from heaven shined on you? Amen. Come to where you was. Let help you realize it. Shine a light on your old hard, rotten heart so that you know you as a Savior and a sinner in need of a Savior. Praise God. And the Bible says He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. Why persecutest thou me? It's Jesus. And He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, no, listen, God gives it. Praise God. God tells him who He is. God wants us to know who He is, by the way. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, those that's goading you on, those that's poking you on, those that's pushing you on to do what you're doing. He said, it's hard for you to rebel against it because you don't know. All you know is the law, praise God. He said, Paul, it's time that you learned of me. Amen. Said he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, but what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen. See, Paul was looking. He was desiring. He wanted to do. He wanted to do for God more than any. He was zealous for God. Amen. Sometimes we can be zealous for God, praise God, in the wrong direction. But he said, you go into the city. He said, I'll show you what you do. And said he journeyed up through there, and he said, the men with him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing not, and seeing no man. And Saul rose up from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days there without sight, neither did eat or drink. So Paul's there, and he's 3 days. He sent him up the straight street to be straightened out. Amen. So Paul's sitting there for 3 days. He's blinded. He can't see. He don't eat, he don't drink, he's praying, he's trying to seek God's direction. He says, Lord, where did I go wrong? I've been zealous for you. Amen. And then he calls an old fella. See, God need a witness. He called an old fella named Ananias. Ananias, Bible said that he was a disciple in Damascus. And the Lord said to him, Ananias, verse number 10, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. He said, Ananias, now watch this. Oh, Ananias, he's eager. He said, yeah, right here I am, Lord. Oh, right here. Here I am. And the Lord says, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street that's called Straight. He said, Ananias, I need you to go up Straight Street. So I got a fellow up there. He said, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Amen. So Ananias, he was eager. He said, yeah, Lord, here I am. He said, I need you to go up Straight Street. I got a fellow up there praying. His name's Saul of Tarsus. You may have heard of him. He said, I seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Because I've heard of this man. He's wicked. And he come here with orders from the high priest to take anybody that calls on your name. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way. The Lord says, go the way I've showed you. He said, don't be afraid. He said, we got this. He said, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. See, the adults in Israel had done forsaken God. They'd done rejected the Messiah. But he said, what about their little children? My children, they're there. They still need to be saved. But you got, God don't forget people. He said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for thy name's sake, for my name's sake. He said, you go and tell him. He said, he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Praise God. You go tell him, and I've got a great work for him to do. Or there'll be persecutions. There'll be trials expected. Amen. Praise God. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, now he's preaching the first gospel, even Jesus that appeareth unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That preparation for service to God. Amen. God, pray God, God needed a witness. And he sent Ananias. God needed a witness. He's calling Paul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. The Bible said immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. And he received his sight forthwith, right quick, right now. And arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were at Damascus. Verse number 20. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. God needed a witness. Amen. He called a witness to himself. He called people, praise God, to lift up his name. He called people to encourage people to come to Christ. God needs that witness. God needed a witness then. God still needs the witness. You can go on. Over in chapter 10, praise God, Peter's there and God begins to realize that there's nothing common or unclean. Amen. That no person is common or unclean. They're only unclean because of sin. But praise God, if they ask forgiveness, I praise God, they can be saved. And Cornelius sends down. Peter goes down, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Cornelius, praise God, that old soldier, that old centurion, and his household got saved by the marvelous grace of God. Why? Because God needed a witness. And Peter wasn't afraid to go. Amen. He witnessed to them and they got saved magnificently, born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saved because God got his witness. It goes on, praise God. You go on. Paul and Silas is in jail. Got beat, got the tarnation beat out of them. Bound up in chains in the inner prison. That old Philippian jailer, an old lost man, didn't know God. Amen. But before it's over, Paul and Silas realized. They realized, praise God, why God had bound them up, why God allowed them to be beat up. Because God needed a witness. Amen. And before it's all over, praise God, that old Philippian jailer, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Praise God. God brought them a witness. And Paul said, just believe in your heart, Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving of yourself and your household. Amen. Why? Because God got a witness. God needs a witness today. I wonder about us. Are we going to be a witness? Ain't time to be a witness. Ain't time to just lift up the Lord Jesus without fear or favoritism. Praise God, just realizing that souls need to be saved. Amen. Lives need to be changed. People need direction. People need hope in the world today. You and I need hope. Amen. Our families need hope. The people that we come in contact with, they need hope. Amen. Praise God. I love it when my granddaddy used to wave his handkerchief. Praise God. Somebody got right with God. Somebody come up and got some work done with the Lord. He'd wave that handkerchief and say, glory to God, they got hope. Boy, I told you, for a long time I didn't understand that, but when I finally figured out what hope was, hope is faith with a higher expectation. Praise God. And God needs a witness so that people can get the hope and have that higher expectation. Amen. In Christ Jesus, their Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning in closing. Did somebody witness to you when you got saved? Was there somebody witnessing to you? Somebody telling you about Christ? Somebody taking you to church? Somebody pointing you in the right direction? Amen. I guarantee it. I remember Miss Myrtle, my neighbor. And you didn't go to her house. She wasn't going to talk to you and tell you about the Lord. She let you know that Jesus loved you. And guess what? That she did too. Amen. She about loved me to death. Her peanut butter fudge. Goodness. She could talk to me all day about Jesus once she laid that fudge out in front of me. Amen. Glory to God. She had a way of getting our attention. Amen. But I ask a question, can God get a witness? Can God get a witness today? Can God get a witness from you? Can God get a witness from us? Amen. So, preacher, I don't know. It's just so hard. It's difficult. You know, what will people think? They'll think you love Jesus. You can be a witness. Just tell them. Tell people about the Lord. No, without fear and favor, to just tell them. Praise God. Jesus loves you. And He loves me. He loves me and He loves you too. He loves me. He come to where I was. He saved me. Did I ever tell you about getting saved? Amen. Jesus saved me, praise God, by His marvelous grace. Birthed me into His family, praise God. And I'm His. He's mine. Amen. I don't care a bit to tell you that. I'm saved by the marvelous grace of God. Share it everywhere that we go. But I wonder today, can God get a witness? Can God get a witness from you? Can you be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ? You can if you want to. But I'm afraid our want to's broken. Amen. I'm afraid our want to's defective. But I'm afraid most of our want to is just unpersuaded. Maybe a little afraid. Amen. But God said, if you'll just put yourself out there, if you'll just put yourself, He said, I'll do the rest. I've told you before, when God called me to preach for almost 4 years, I run. I didn't walk, I run from it. Because I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't be a witness. I can't tell people about how good you are and how you love me and how you saved me. And I'm like, wait, and I just did. And God touched my heart. He put a burden on me, praise God, to tell people about the blessed truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't ever change. The thing about it, it's easy because it doesn't change. It's always the same. Because He's always the same. But I ask today, can God get a witness? Can God get a witness out of your life? Can you be a witness for Christ? Are we just going to continue on the way that we're going and hope everything will work out okay? Amen. Hopefully it does for you. But what about all those around you, all those you come in contact with? We need to pray that God will help us to turn our light on. Let it shine. Let us be a witness. The Lord's asking today. He put this on my heart hard this morning. He says, you need to ask the church, ask my people, can I get a witness from you today? Would you be a witness for me in these last days that we live? Would you step out on faith, put your trust in me so that you can lift me up, praise me like you ought to, so I can bless you like I'd like to?